view, basically what God is doing in our lives. We have been coming to OCC for almost 5 years. So kind of a long time, but not really. It went back kind of quickly. Many of you guys know that we are moving to China. So yes, it is true. We are moving to China. I found a job with a Chinese automotive company and started working there actually in their Detroit, or in their Michigan office, starting the middle of May. At the beginning of next month, we will relocate and move permanently there to China. Well, at least we tell ourselves, you know, for 5 to 10 years. And then after that, we will reevaluate and see if, you know, God wants us there, you know, to stay longer. We basically look for and accepted this job specifically so that we can move to China.
So usually when we tell people we're moving to China, the first question they ask is why? Why would you guys want to move to China? Why would you guys leave a good job, especially when so many people are losing their jobs? Why would you want to leave the comfort of the United States and go to China where there's squat toilets? Why would you leave our awesome youth group? I think those are some hard questions. And are we going because there are better job opportunities over there? Are we going just so Hannah will learn Chinese? Well, not exactly. So why exactly are we going to China? I guess the simple answer is this is how God has called us to be part of his redemption plan. So today we want to share with you three things, hopefully relatively quickly. First, what is God's redemption plan? Second, what does this mean for all Christians? And what does this mean for us, the Chuangs?
So before continuing, if you guys just don't mind, we just want to pray again, you know, for God to just use us during this time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that your Spirit is here, and we just invite and we ask you to just be working in us. We ask that you would just speak through me, Anita, as we share, that it would be from you. We ask that you would increase, that we would decrease. Lord, that your Spirit would open our minds, open our hearts to really what you are doing, and to see that how we could you know, just be part of what you're doing and be used by you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what is God's redemption plan? Well, we don't really have to guess because God already have revealed it in the Bible. You see, it all started with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and was deceived by Satan, mankind's relationship with God was broken. And this is where it kind of all started. This is the root of sinful nature for all people. Our tendency to want to do what we know doesn't please God. Because of this, we are, you know, object of God's wrath. And we are destined to be dragged down by Satan to death and separation from God. But see, even then, even way back then, God had already had a plan to rescue all people and destroy Satan. In Genesis 3, it foreshadowed that Jesus will crush Satan. And this is the beginning of God's redemption plan. Later on, in Genesis, we see God called Abraham, made a promise with him. And we read that in Genesis 12:3. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. I want to emphasize again, all people on earth will be blessed through you. You see, even way back in Genesis, we start to see this theme of all people, this idea of all people is actually better translated as, you know, all people group, or later on you'll see it as all nations. You know, even though Israelites are God's chosen people, he desired to bless all people on the earth through them. In 1 Kings 8:42-43, when King Solomon completed the temple, he prayed this. When he was referring to non-Jewish people, comes and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you. Again, we read that, so that all peoples of the earth may know you, may know your name. You know, not just some people, not just most people, but all people may know God. And further on, we read in the Bible in Isaiah 56, the Lord says, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Here we see the idea of all nations, which is the same as all peoples. Not just the nation of Israel, but for all nations of the world. See, ultimately, God's redemption plan culminated with Jesus, and that we actually read this verse this morning, 1 John 3:16, a very familiar verse to a lot of people. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loved the world, not just the Israelites, not just the Europeans, not just the American, not just Chinese people, but the whole world. Jesus died on the cross so that we humankind can break free of the penalty of our disobedience, which is death. Satan is defeated. He no longer has power over those who believe in Jesus. And this is the good news. This is the gospel that Jesus wants us to share with the world, to carry to all nations, to preach to all people. In Matthew 24:14 reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This is what missions mean, preaching the gospel to the whole world, or in another word, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. This is not just a New Testament idea. The theme to reach all people and all nations was there throughout the Old Testament, as you can see in the, you know, all the verses that we went through. And one thing also to notice, that in the verse it says, in the Matthew verse it says, "And then the end will come." Missions work is not done, and Jesus will not return until all the people group had a chance to hear the gospel. See, our God is a mission-minded God, and we see this in the whole Bible, even from the very beginning. God's redemption plan is to make known Jesus' work on the cross to all people.
Okay, so like Luke said, God has this redemption plan in place since the beginning of time. And ultimately, okay, that's good. Ultimately, God wants this picture of individuals from all nations to know him. So let me clarify that slightly. When we say all nations, it doesn't mean each country, like the United States, Uganda, Japan. It's actually more specific than that. All nations can also be worded as all people groups, as Luke mentioned before. And a people group can roughly be defined as a group of people that share the same identity in terms of culture, ethnicity, and language, things that bind them together as a community. Another way that people have defined it is a people group might be the largest group through which the gospel can flow without encountering significant barriers of understanding and acceptance. So you might consider like Asian Americans or Chinese Americans as one people group. Some people estimate that there's over 11,000 people groups in the world. That's a lot of groups. And ultimately, God wants believers representing each and every people group in the world to be worshiping him. So to kind of give an analogy, if you imagined your school to represent the entire world, it would be like saying he wants at least one person from each clique or each group of friends to be a Christian. Or if your workplace represented the entire world, it would be like saying he wants at least one person from each department to be a Christian. Not just the engineers or just the finance people, not just the popular kids or just the jocks or just the nerds. You get the idea. And it's kind of a pretty awesome picture if you think about it, that God would want you know, people from all different backgrounds and cultures and just this whole diverse, like, mosaic of people worshiping him. So if God has the ultimate goal or plan for all nations to worship him, what does that mean for us as believers? Well, it means that we need to be the ones to spread his good news to all those other nations. It means that we need to go beyond our own circles to witness to others that aren't just like us. See, God has chosen people as the main means of communicating his gospel to other people. So in my school example, it would mean the nerds need to go talk with the jocks, or the orchestra people need to mingle with the band people. I know it's scary, but it means basically that we need to be missionaries. sharing the gospel to those who aren't just like us. And I think as people, we have a tendency to stick with others who are more similar to us. It's more comfortable, it's more familiar. And we like to stay in our own circles with our own friends, with our own Asian American Christians. But God tells us to go beyond our own circles for the sake of spreading his gospel. He invites us to be part of this bigger plan that he has set out. And in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, at the time, the disciples were in Jerusalem. We'll have a little map here. And these are some of the last words that Jesus says to his disciples. He gives this command to be witnesses. Can you point to Jerusalem? Or just with your finger. Point to, he gives this command to be witnesses in Jerusalem, basically where you're at right now. And then Judea, the surrounding area. And then to Samaria, which is the neighboring area, and then to all nations. Okay, next. So you get this picture of their circle of influence getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And going to places beyond their own original familiar little circle. When I read this verse recently, the word that actually stuck out to me was the word "and." It's not like you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem or Judea, or maybe Samaria if you have time. No, but it's all inclusive. You're going to be witnesses in all of these places. For me and Luke, we might think of our Jerusalem and Judea as our church home back in Boston, where we really grew as believers and reached out to the community around us there. And then God called us here to Michigan, which is our Samaria, where it's similar, but still kind of different. And now we're going across the world to China, expanding to all nations, or at least one other nation, which happens to be a very big nation. So God has called us to be missionaries, to go beyond our little circles to witness for him. And this command is actually not just for who you might think of as the super Christians. When God talks about witnessing to all nations, he is speaking to and commanding all believers. That means that each one of you in this room are missionaries. Okay, let me repeat. You are a missionary. You might not have considered yourself a missionary before, but that is actually what God is calling you to be. So I want you to think, what is your Jerusalem? Maybe it's starting as a witness to your family and your good friends. What will be your Judea and Samaria and all nations? Where will you expand your circle of influence to? Will you push yourself to be around people who are different than you? For the sake of fulfilling God's redemption plan, that individuals from all nations would know him.
So, many of us have a preconceived notion of what being a missionary means. Usually when we say missionary, we think of an old lady doing full-time missionary work in a remote African country. Well, that is one part of missions, but it's so much more than that. Like Anita said, we're all commanded to be missionaries. I remember when God first put this idea in my head, it was my sophomore year in college when I went to the Urbana Conference. Some of you might have gone to the Urbana Conference also. The theme that year was, "You are my witnesses," you know, right out of Acts 1:8. God didn't say, "You who are seminary trained will be my witnesses," or "You who go overseas as full-time missionary will be my witnesses," but simply, "You will be my witnesses." Every single one of us who claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior are his witnesses. So how can we be witnesses to the ends of the earth when none of us can possibly travel to all parts of the world in our lifetime? Well, see, this is the beauty of God's people. Those people that God call to go to different ends of the earth need people to send them. They need people to support them in prayer, in encouragement, and sometimes financially. There needs to be people that mobilize Christians and prepare them to go to different ends of the earth. This is where all of us can be part of this chain of witnesses that reaches the ends of the earth. Will you be a sender, committed to pray for those that are out there? Will you be a supporter to encourage and care for those out there when things gets tough for them? Will you do your best at work so that the money God blesses you with, you can use to support His kingdom work? Will you tell others about God's redemption plan, get them excited about missions? Is God asking you to consider maybe going yourself? God doesn't necessarily mean becoming full-time missionary. Maybe like God is asking you to use the talent, skills, backgrounds, and experience God has given you, but just in a little different setting. One thing for sure, find out how God wants you to be part of this chain, to be part of His redemption plan, because it's so exciting when you see God works, you don't want to miss it.
Okay, so review quickly. We've told you that our God is a missions-minded God with a plan to bring people from all nations to know Him. And we've said that as believers, we are all called to be missionaries. But also that there's a lot of different roles as missionaries, and your role might not be the same as how you traditionally picture a missionary to be. So finally, how has all of this played out in our own family's life? Well, I think, first of all, as we learned more about God's heart for missions, we felt more and more compelled to obey God and be part of missions. So it started out with a general willingness to obey His call to missions. So we knew we needed to be involved in missions, but what exactly would our role be? For us, we kind of figured out the way it unfolded for us was we figured out the where, and then the when, and then the how. It doesn't necessarily happen in this order for everyone, but I guess it's just kind of how it happened for us. So we're going to share kind of our story. So first, the where. I guess for me, I've always considered going to China since probably my college years. Some people, they feel called to specific roles or ministries, like you know you're supposed to do children's ministry, or be a doctor to underprivileged people, or you know your strength is leading others in worship. For me, I don't know if God calls me to a specific task or type of work, but He's always called me to different places or locations, whether it was where to go for school, or where to do a summer internship, or moving back to Michigan. So I felt like He placed in my heart also the idea to go to China. But I just didn't necessarily know what I'd be doing there, or how we would go, or where exactly in China. I just knew I wanted to go to China. And that hope, actually, even the hope to go to China, even played out into my requirements for dating. Ideally, I said in college, I wanted my boyfriend and future husband to, one, be able to speak Mandarin, and two, also have a vision to go to China, or at least be open to it. So it's a good thing Luke happened to meet those requirements. But really, it's, you know, part of God's big plan in bringing us together. So just as a side note, I think in looking for a mate, it's important to find someone who's going in the same direction or share the same vision. Because honestly, it's much harder to stay on track, on that track, if you guys aren't going the same way. Okay, anyways, back to why we wanted to go to China. Aside from just having this general heart for China, I think on a practical level, going to China also seems like a good fit for us. First of all, I think most of you know we like to travel a lot. And some of you can picture living in Michigan for the rest of your life. And that is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not us. I think we would get very restless. We would get an itch to move, and we'd be grumpy people that you wouldn't want to be around. So we fit better into the role of the people who go versus the ones who stay and send other people. Also, God has made us ethnically Chinese, and he's given us the language skills and some understanding of the culture. So it seems like a good use of our background to go to China. We know other non-Chinese people who go to China for missions, and they have to spend the first few years just learning the language before they can do anything else. And here we are, where we already have the language or can pick it up more quickly. So we think maybe there's a reason why God has made us this way, and maybe we should make use of it. Maybe there's a reason why God has made you Chinese, and maybe you'll make use of that part of your identity in some way. We also have always had a tendency to hang out more with Chinese people, for better or for worse. For example, coming to a Chinese church. So it's our natural inclination to be around Chinese people, so China is probably a good place for us to be. Also, China itself is changing so much and so quickly right now, and there's a great spiritual thirst in some of the people. And proportionally, there are a lot fewer Christians there than there are here. So by us being there, hopefully it's at least one more family witnessing for God. Of course, it's also a bonus that Hannah will be able to speak Chinese better and won't have to rely on just us or Chinese school to teach her. So you see, lots of good reasons for us to go to China.
Well, like Anita said, we figure we'll hope that, you know, God was leading us to China. We got the place down, but there was, you know, still the question of timing, of when. Even right after we got married, we actually considered going to China then. However, you know, God told us it wasn't time yet and ended up telling us to come back to Michigan. Well, that's another whole different story that we can share another day. But, you know, finally when God knew the timing was right, he opened up the door for us now to move to China. It's interesting because when we first moved here, we had said that, you know, we think that God wants us here to be maybe 3 to 5 years. Well, when we move, you know, this fall, it will have been pretty much exactly 5 years. You see, Bob, God may put in your heart to go somewhere, but, you know, it might not happen right away. What you need to do is to be faithful in seeking his plan and actively pursuing him. And his timing is always perfect. So we have shared with you the where and the when. The last part is how. How do we get to China? Many of you probably know that you can't go into China under the strict label of a missionary. It's a closed country. You need to go there with some other purpose, whether it's being a student or teaching English, or, you know, just go there with a regular, quote-unquote, regular job. This is actually a good fit for us because we haven't really ever been called to do, you know, quote-unquote, full-time ministry, meaning, you know, being a full-time pastor or, you know, being staff full-time at a church or, you know, working as, you know, maybe an inter-varsity worker with college students or something like that. Instead, we figure we can go work in China using, you know, the education, the work experience that God has given us, and we'll be tent makers. So for those who don't know what tent makers are, it's basically people who go on the missions field with, you know, quote-unquote, regular job and support themselves financially versus having to raise support from churches or individuals. And the term tent makers actually come from the Apostle Paul, who went around, you know, ministering all these different people at different places. And Paul himself actually literally made tents for a living. He sold tents, and, you know, that's how he made money. And that's how he supported his ministry and travel. So that's what we're doing. We felt like God was pointing us toward China. So we started to look for jobs there. It was a long process, and we had to face a lot of difficult decisions. But eventually, we ended up with the job I have now. We already see God doing a lot of neat things, even within, you know, this company that that I'm working at. And we've been able to talk to other believers in the areas that we'll be moving to. In some ways, our life will look kind of like how they look here in Michigan, only we'll be in China. I'll be working while Anita will be at home with Hannah. We'll have a church family and be open to be part of how God is working in my company or in our community. The best part is we know that God is there already. He's going there ahead of us. We can just simply go and witness what he's doing. hopefully we'll also be witnesses to others about what our God is doing. There are still a lot unknown for us, but it's definitely exciting to be part of God's big plan.
So Beilun is where we're going to be. That's what that map is for.
Yep, and this is Shanghai. It's about 3 hours from Shanghai.
Okay, so that's briefly our story. And I guess now we ask, what is your story? And how will it unfold as part of God's plan to reach all peoples? How will you respond to God's heart for missions? I've put together a whole bunch of practical suggestions to get you thinking. It's a long list. We'll keep it up here afterwards. But pick like one or two of these and pursue them or get other ideas. So first, some ideas to get you more involved in missions. Maybe this is the first time you've heard that God is a missions-minded God, and it's a whole new idea to you. So you can go study this idea more. Find all the verses that say all nations in the Bible and read them and think about, you know, what is God's heart when he talks in these verses.
And you might think it's hard to go through your Bible and just look for those verses. You can go online. There's BibleGateway.com. You can just type in the keyword, poof, all nation verses comes up. So pretty good.
Okay, next. Acts is a great book to study for missions. It's talking about when the first church spread, and so you can see God's heart for missions there. If you want to dig even deeper, you can take a course on missions. There's a perspectives course me and Luke took back in Boston. You can actually get seminary credit for this. But it's a pretty awesome class where you'll just like learn so much and your mind will really be opened up. And that's the website where you can get more information on it. For those of you in college or going to be in college come 2009, you can consider going to Urbana, which is this missions conference for college students, which is amazing. Happens every 3 years, and there's, what, 20,000 people who go? Something like that. So it's pretty good. We talked about expanding your circle, so I challenge you to expand your circles, whether it be a group of friends or within the community, going to places where there's people not like you, even like the Grace Centers of Hope in Pontiac is one place. In terms of your role in missions, whether it be a sender or a goer, and different times of your life you might play different roles, but you can test out these different roles. You can commit to going to the next OCC missions trip. Just commit like, okay, I'm going to go. It doesn't matter if it conflicts with summer school or other plans, you know, commit to going. And, you know, it's our dream that maybe in like a year or two, the next missions trip might be to where we are and you can come visit us and have, how cool would that be if there is a missions trip there? So, you know, as a supporter, maybe God's calling you to be a sender and a supporter. One family you can support would be us. If we are raising up a network of people who are going to be praying for us and receiving regular updates about what's going on in our lives. So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to commit to praying for us regularly, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. You just put your name and email, and you'll be on our update list. Or just write letters or leave messages on Facebook for us just so we don't feel too lonely out there. Using your finances, you can donate to various missions-minded organizations. And if you don't know of any, there's a few listed here that are great organizations. And, you know, even a couple dollars for those of you who aren't working yet, you know, it's huge. It's more just kind of showing where your heart is and using what God has given you towards missions. Finally, I just challenge you to be intentional about doing something in terms of getting involved in missions and hang out with others who are also passionate for missions because it makes it that much easier. it gets really hard, it's easy to kind of lose vision or lose sight. And so there does need to be an element of being intentional in terms of your involvement with missions.
So these are, you know, just a lot of different practical steps that you might want to look into, you know. Obviously, by no means do all of them. You know, you might want to just pick one or pick one or two to start off. And again, we'll put this list back up later, so maybe afterwards you want to jog it down, or, you know, if I want to come ask us for a website or whatever, we're more than happy to do that. So to close today, we actually want to just share a song with you. And it's kind of how we, you know, it's actually a song I learned last weekend. How cool is that? And it kind of, you know, reflects just how we're responding to God's call. And, you know, maybe you can use this time to just think about, you know, how would God want you to be part of, you know, his big redemption plan. And maybe I can have Jimmy just help me run the slide.
Feel free to sing along.